The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Hey, Summit family. It is really good to be with all of you in this way this morning. But I think it's fair to say that all of us are beginning to look forward to the moment with great anticipation when we can gather back together again in worship. There is an ache, an appropriate ache within the body of Christ to be together again. And I think it's probably good for us to feel that right now. It's good for us to learn something about the genuine nature of the bride of Christ, the church, as she experiences longing to be reunited together again with Christ and with one another. And I would just encourage you, when you feel that, don't let that pass too quickly. It's probably a good thing to sit in that for a little while and process it with the Lord, but know that we cannot wait to see you again. Today is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. It's an interesting thing in light of our present circumstances to consider what we will experience in the coming days that might, in some ways, for the first time, expose our hearts and our minds to a truer sense of active participation with the weightiness and the power that accompanies this week in the life of Jesus Christ. On this day in his earthly life and ministry, Jesus was entering into Jerusalem for the last time with his eyes wide open to the trajectory of his journey. Jesus was riding into Jerusalem as a king, indeed he was, but he was moving willingly and knowingly toward the cross. And therefore, Palm Sunday rightly begs the question of our hearts: will you and I follow the king riding on the colt of the donkey all the way to the cross? If you have your Bibles, you can open with me to John chapter 12. We'll be there in just a moment. And as you turn there, I want to set a picture in our minds of something that I think might help us capture what was going on in the heart and mind of Jesus at this moment in his earthly ministry. I don't know if you've ever thought of it, but sometimes in life, you have the responsibility of knowing really difficult news before other people that you love are going to find out that news. I remember being a youth pastor at a church up in Ohio, and we had taken about 80 students or so away on a ski retreat. We had spent 3 days away with them, and we were on our way back home. We're all riding on a bus together. And one of the students in our ministry was just, he had the ability to capture the attention of the entire room. He just had that personality. When he was speaking, people were listening. He was fun and outgoing, and he knew how to, in one sense, bring a really diverse group of students together in a moment, primarily through laughter and allowing them to kind of loosen up a little bit and enjoy each other's company. And he's up on the front of the bus, and he had convinced the bus driver that had been with us for this entire trip to let him use the microphone that went throughout the bus. And he starts just doing his thing. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's rolling. He's engaged with the students and with the leaders and with the bus driver. And we're just kind of rolling down the highway. And as he's doing this and we're all enjoying it, I get a phone call. And on the phone call was one of the leaders from the church, one of the pastors from the church, informing me that this young student who's got us all laughing and enjoying our trip home, his father had just had a massive heart attack. And they weren't sure if he was going to make it. When we got home, we were going to be instructed that he was going to be first off the bus, and we're going to gather his things, and somebody's going to rush him to the hospital in hopes that if this is the last day he has the opportunity to see his father, that he will make it there in time. And they said, we need you to tell him that before he gets home. And it was such a painfully odd place to be, to want to give him more time to enjoy the moment because I knew what was ahead. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, knowing something before everybody else completely understands or knows it, and having to hold the tension of when is the appropriate time to bring them in. I think that's a little bit of this moment when Jesus is entering into Jerusalem for the last time. He knows something that not everybody else sees or knows or understands, regardless of how clear he had attempted to make it over time. We don't get all the insight into everything that Jesus is thinking when he rides into town. We get some of that even later in this chapter, that he's aware of what is to come and just how heavy it is going to be. But I imagine that there is a kind of pit in the stomach feeling as Jesus knows something of the present and future hour that not everybody else knew. I imagine that Jesus is in that difficult position of knowing the hard truth before the crowd is going to pick up on it. And yet he chooses to allow them to stay in their position of what you might call innocent ignorance, so that they can experience some joy and anticipation that might only be surpassed by the weight of joy to be found on the other side of what will prove to be agonizing moments in their future. I think that's a little bit of the feel here as Jesus is coming into town and people are crowded around him in excitement and in anticipation and declaring things that are absolutely true, but not yet seeing what is to come, and Jesus being fully aware of it. I want to read for us John chapter 12, starting in verse 12, and just pick up in the theme of this Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. The text says this: "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him.'" I think there is something really powerful and beautiful taking place here. We know this story fairly well, but I don't want us to miss it. I don't want us to just kind of gloss over it because of its familiarity. Jesus is being greeted as he comes into Jerusalem by a large crowd that actually, the text tells us, they were gathered there because they were hearing the stories of the sign of his raising Lazarus from the dead. They were coming around because now Jesus, in a very public fashion, a very intentional fashion, is coming into Jerusalem in a very kingly manner. And he is being greeted in kingly fashion in every way. not just with the branches, not just with the crowds, but even with their declaration when they cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's this word that is just kind of letter for letter, the English word taken from the Greek and the Greek word taken from the Hebrew. But when you boil it down, when you get down into everything that's being communicated, what you discover is it's a word with rich heritage from the Psalms and now being unpacked in the rightful time and appropriate way. And what the word says is salvation is here. Now, this is our King, the Son of David. All of those things true. Jesus entering into Jerusalem at Passover, doing so with his aim firmly fixed on what is to come. The late Eugene Peterson said this. He said, this day, Jesus goes to do something final and decisive and world-shaking and life-changing on our behalf. For us and our salvation, to the glory of God the Father, he is going to do something seemingly foolish. Bounding on the back of a donkey, hanging in scorned agony on a cross, he looks more like a fool than the Savior of the world. But it is in that moment that he invites us. Will you follow me even here? It's something to think about. It's something to allow the heart to wrestle with. In this moment, in this text, at an unexpected time, in an unfamiliar way, arrives an unparalleled king to establish an unrivaled kingdom and to deliver an unmatchable salvation. And it all comes by the way of death that leads to life. Fast forward some 2,000 or so years later to this present moment. And it's not lost on me that you and I could say, at an unprecedented time, in an unwanted season of isolation, we are now given an unexpected opportunity to see afresh or anew the realities of God's unfailing love. If we, by faith, submit our lives to this King who is unlike any other. Truth be told, Jesus is better than we would imagine him to be if we were to make him up in our own minds. Here's Jesus in this moment as he enters into Jerusalem, and he's just bouncing, as it were, down the path on the colt of a donkey to a crowd that likely wanted and expected a king who would enter on a war horse and take his throne by overthrowing Rome. As a matter of fact, this large crowd would continue to thin out the closer Jesus gets to what lies ahead. Some who were chanting Hosanna and giving thanks to God in the highest for this king who had come would likely join the crowds that would later declare and scream out, crucify him, crucify him. Instead of coming down the path on a war horse to overthrow the current Roman rule or religious systems of the day. Jesus is entering in humble peacefulness while fulfilling the prophecy spoken about him by Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Fear not, a timely word then and now. Daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His countenance isn't described, but one must imagine there was both an embrace of this rightful title that is being proclaimed in their joyful cries of Hosanna, King of Israel, and perhaps simultaneously, Jesus knows what they have not yet fully understood. He is riding to his death. He is on a pronounced, public, very purposeful ride. Everyone is now taking notice. The hour has come, Jesus will later tell us. He is riding to the necessary and appointed hour of glory, which will come by way of the willful, loving, and obedient laying down of his life on our behalf. And it would seem that the pressing question of that first Palm Sunday, that triumphal entry, that ride of Jesus into Jerusalem for the final time in his earthly ministry, would raise this question of genuine discipleship, of the real cost of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It's the one we've already posed. Will you and I follow the king on the colt of the donkey all the way to the cross? Practically speaking, will we follow him to the end of ourselves? To the end of this false sense of control that we grasp after day in and day out? To the end of our fears and anxieties, to the end of our misplaced sense of pride and self-righteousness or self-sufficiency? Will we follow him to the end of trusting in our own abilities and empty ourselves in complete and utter dependence upon him, only to find that he is quite profoundly enough? Will we lose our lives for his sake, which he later says, even in this very chapter? Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Will we lose our lives for his sake in order that we might find an eternal life that is more precious than gaining the entire world? You see, following King Jesus, who rides on the colt of the donkey, doesn't just lead to death. It leads to everlasting life and inexpressible joy. Do you want to experience the light that no darkness can overcome? Do you want to experience the peace that even the most raging seas of uncertainty cannot overpower? Do you want to experience the life in Christ that none of the stinging effects of sin and death can ever rob of everlasting joy? Well, then that is the good news of the invitation of Palm Sunday. And our hope is that your hearts will gladly declare again with us today, by grace, through faith, Hosanna. Salvation is here now. And I will follow the King, riding on the colt of the donkey all the way. And in doing so, I will live. And he will keep me in the life everlasting that only he can offer. Let's pray. Father God, we love you because you first loved us. You make that abundantly clear in your word. What a beautiful reminder to us that even as we reflect on this historical moment in Jesus's life that occurred in time and history so many years ago, we are reminded yet again, the invitation still extends to see Jesus as the rightful King. Hosanna, the one who delivers salvation is here. And all who put their faith and trust in his name are brought into an everlasting life and joy where there is no end and where no circumstance of life can actually steal or rob in any way or take away in any way this life that you give in and through Christ. Lord, not just in this moment, but in every waking moment, would you teach us to be a people who allow the reality of Jesus as King to shape us and to form us and to recreate all the ways in which we engage life on a day-to-day basis for your glory and for your fame. Thank you for the King who was willing to go all the way to pay the ultimate price and to offer to us a life we could have never achieved on our own. We give him thanks today and we give him praise today. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.